Good morning, everybody. Paul, I hope I can talk loud enough for you today. I'm a little hoarse. You all turn to John chapter 18, please. And I'll get there in just a minute. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record this account where a multitude of men came armed to the hilt, consisting of the chief priests and the elders of the people, when they came to arrest Christ. And all four accounts of that arrest, so to speak, has different information in each occasion where it's recorded. Matthew records it, Mark records it, Luke, and John. I want to read to you Matthew, you stay where you are, 26 and verse 51. One verse. And behold, one of them, those that were with Christ, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Now, you all already know who that was and the consequences of it. But in that place, it just says, describes him as one which was with Jesus, drew his sword, and smote off a man's ear. I want you to notice there's no mention of exactly who it was that drew his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest. And then in Mark, in chapter 14, this is the way it's recorded there. And they laid their hands on him, Christ, this mob, and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote off a servant of the high priest and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Still doesn't say who did it or what the man's name was. And then, having no mention of Peter being the one that cut off the ear of the man, we come here to John 18 and verse 10. Let's read that together. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And in reading this account in the book of John, we know a couple of things in addition to what we didn't know from the other two verses. It was the apostle Peter who cut this man's ear off and drew his sword. And the man's name was Malchus. And last of all, I want you to turn to Luke. Luke chapter 22. And look at verse 49. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? Now those are the ones, this is speaking of the ones who were with Christ at that point. Lord, shall we fight these folks? And one of them didn't wait for an answer, and we all know who that was. It was Peter. He smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. Now I want to point out right there that when Peter struck this man and cut off his ear, there was about to be bedlam between the competition between these two crowds, because they had started the fight and these other guys are going to finish it up if they could. But that phrase right there, "suffer ye thus far," was our Lord saying, wait a minute. And they all stopped dead in their tracks. They all stopped right there. There's no more conflict. And he reached out and he touched this man's ear and he healed it. That was the reason he commanded people to be still. And now we know from this account, it was the Apostle Peter, which we already knew, who cut his right ear off. The man's name was Malchus. And here we learned that the Lord touched his ear and healed him. This mob, who came armed to the teeth with staves and swords, was angered and motivated to kill Christ because that he claimed to be the Son of God. That was the charges that they brought against him, and that was the problem that they had with our Lord. You make yourself equal with God. On several occasions before, in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, they had sought to kill him. I think it was about 5 occasions, because he made himself to be equal with God. And they were going to put an end to it. They're going to get rid of this man. In John 10 and verse 30, you don't have to turn there, Christ said, I and my Father are one.
Yes, sir.
Are one. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him again. And Jesus answered them, many good works have I done, have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Which one, what good work have I done that you that you would stone me for? And the Jews answered him, and they said, we're not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy. And because that you, being a man, make yourself to be God. This man Malchus, the man whom Peter struck, was obviously one of the point men in this gang. This angry, religious bunch of gangsters. Because he was a servant to Caiaphas, who was a servant. He was servant to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. And when Peter swung that sword, I think it's safe to say, and all the commentaries make a great point of it that I've read, he did so with the intention of cutting that man's head off. He did. He was going to kill him. He had no intentions of wounding him. His intention was to kill Malchus. Now, when Pastor David brought lesson on this, not this particular verse, but this particular section of John 18, my reaction to this passage was much the same as it's always been. In picturing this incident in my mind's eye, and perhaps yours, and that's the reason I'm doing this morning, it gave me a good chuckle. It kind of made me want to pump my fist and say, yes, get him, you know? Shut that man up. Stop him. And I think all of us tend to laugh and perhaps even mock this character while rooting and wishing that Peter had been successful in cutting his head clean off. I don't remember exactly, but something which David said caused me to realize that this one fact. I hope that it gets your attention like it did mine. again, Peter intended to cut off this servant's head. But our Lord intended and predestinated and purposed and determined before this world was ever made that Peter was to cut that man's ear off. Wasn't no accident. None. Not even close to being an accident. It wasn't a situation which surprised Christ. It was a situation that he had determined before the foundation of the world to be performed at that moment and at that time. It was striking to me to realize that this was not an occasion which had somehow slipped up on Christ, that things had gotten out of hand, and that somehow he was surprised by Peter's action and had no control over it. Peter did only what had been determined before to be done. I said that. Peter's intention was clearly not that which our Lord had purposed. It was contrary. His intention was to cut his head off. The Lord's intention was for him to cut his ear off. Never in the purpose of God was this man ever to lose his head. It was his purpose that he would lose his ear. And I say, before going any further, it would redound to the glory of God. And when one considers that fact, I think the obvious question becomes why. And that's where my curiosity kicked in. And I hope I haven't made much of nothing in this, but I want to share some things that crossed my mind when I read this. Our Lord commands us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 to love our enemies, to bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Have I ever done that? I humbly confess, I don't think I have. Not with the heart of love which our Lord possesses. No, sir. We may bless them verbally, outwardly, and we may pray for them, and we may even do good to them, but it's never with a pure heart. Never. But our Lord's not like us. His answer to this circumstance, which had been purposed before the world was ever made, was to love his enemy. I've come to think that our Lord's purpose just may have been an act of mercy and given this man a new ear. I don't know that it is important, but I imagine this man's ear had probably been already been stepped on and ground into the dirt, laying there on the ground. Scripture says he cut his ear off. But our Lord, the God-man, our God in the flesh, had no need of that ear anyway. And he touched his ear and he healed him. Now what it says, really, I don't want to make much of nothing, but I will say this. I find that phrase from Luke 22 and verse 51 pretty interesting. It says he touched his ear and healed him. It doesn't say that he touched his ear and healed it. It says he touched his ear and healed him. maybe that is making too much, but I don't think so. It's also interesting to note that this was the last miracle that our Lord performed in his last minute of freedom, was to heal this man who was determined to take him away and to kill him. That was the last thing he did. Miraculously. The last miracle, bodily miracle that he performed before he went to that cross. Now I want to emphasize why this crowd of religious gangsters had come to capture and finally be rid of our Lord. As I said a little mention briefly before, I think there's no less than five occasions in the book of John that the Jews sought to stone and kill Christ because he claimed to be God. And on every occasion up to this point in time, Christ had miraculously escaped and evaded their efforts. John 10 emphatically states, the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself to be God. With that thought in this man's mind, he justified himself in being party to the action of capturing Christ. He thought he was doing God a favor by taking this man who claimed to be God. As I've said, I think he was probably the point man in the operation because he was the closest one to Christ. That's one Peter hit, I'm sure. I'm just dead sure that's true. He believed the charges were true, and he was zealously participating in their efforts, the efforts of this gang, just as the Apostle Paul was when he persecuted the church and went about executing Christians and the followers of Christ. But if he could have gotten his hands on Christ, he would have done the same to him. He would have done the same thing. The Lord knocked him off his high horse, blinded his eyes, and sent him a preacher, and saved his soul, and made him an apostle unlike any of the others, in my opinion. Now, I want to ask you this. Can you imagine what this man, Malchus, must have thought when he was delivered from the excruciating pain of having his ear chopped off to be made whole? To be made whole and healed instantly and relieved of that pain after having his ear cut off and probably seeing it laying in the dirt himself. And scripture says that it was cut off. Could it be that this man was brought to the realization that the one who claimed to be God was truly God? I think I would have thought about it a little bit. We're all familiar with the story of the one that we call Doubting Thomas, the one who refused to believe that the Lord had risen from the grave, and the other disciples had excitedly said to him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. But he said, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Except I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, after that, the disciples were together in a room, and all of a sudden there was Christ. And the door was shut. And the Lord said to him, Thomas, Reach hither your finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. That was the purpose of God revealing himself and showing those things. He was confirming the doubt of Thomas and casting it away. And Thomas answered him and said, he never reached out his finger. He never put his hand in the Lord's side. He just simply said, answered him and said, my Lord and my God.
Amen.
Thomas, because you've seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Could it be that our Lord gave this man, Malchus, a hearing ear? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 verse says, it's written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit. Now this servant of the high priest was there to capture Christ because he claimed to be equal with God. And he was convinced that he was nothing less than a blasphemous man, a blasphemous person. But after he was miraculously made whole, I would ask you, and I asked myself, what other conclusion to which this man could arrive at? I think it was the same realization that centurion had when he stood at the foot of the cross watching the Son of God give himself and die for his people, and darkness that fell on that scene. And that centurion said, truly, this is the Son of God. You think he might have had that thought? Christ said in Matthew 27, chapter 27, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. If I don't do those works, don't believe me. But if I do, though you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. That the Father is in me and I am in him. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. Don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In John chapter 20, John says, these and many other signs are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. All those things were done and written and recorded that we might believe. It's evidence given that you might have life through his name. Isaiah said in chapter 35, Christ shall come and save you. How does he save us? Isaiah says, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Is it possible that our Lord gave this man a hearing ear when he healed him? Personally, I prefer to believe that Christ gave this man a new ear, a spiritual ear, a hearing ear, an understanding ear. That is what he did for us. He's got to give ear. He must give ears to hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, last of all, you can turn back to John 18 and verse 10 if you'd like to see it here. I want you to note that only in the Gospel of John is the name of this man given. And that got my attention, and I wondered why, and this is what I've arrived at. Names given in Scripture are of great importance. I think we all realize that when we study the Scriptures, and John is the only apostle who records this man's name in his account of the Gospels. The Gospel of John, this thought came to my mind. The Gospel of John presents Christ as God and glorifies him in his divinity. Matthew presents Christ as King of Kings. Mark presents Christ as a servant. Luke presents Christ as a man, the God-man. And John starts his gospel account with these words in the very first phrase. You'll all be familiar with it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When I was reminded of that statement, I realized that that very first few phrases of the Gospel of John contains the exact details of what this angry religious mob was there to arrest him for. That was the charges against him. John states the Word was God and is God, and they were there to arrest him for the fact that he claimed to be God. God knows and calls every one of his elect by name. And I remind you, he's presented by John as being God. That's the context of all that's written in the book of John. And God knows and calls every one of his elect by name. And in the time of his love, they are called by name and brought to know God, who he is, and what he's done for them. It's true of everyone. This is life eternal, John says, that they might know thee, the only true God. You see that every Sunday on our bulletin. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What was this man's name? Malchus. Now, just listen for a minute. His name was Malchus. You may know, but I'll ask anyway, do you know what that name means? It means this, put it in quotations, my king, my king. What does that mean? Malchus, my king. Who named him? I'll ask you that. God named him. God did. That name is revealed to us for a reason, not just for information. God named Malchus. Listen to this. God named Malchus just as your name was determined before you ever were a thought in the minds of your parents. Before this world was ever formed, every individual who's ever been born, who's ever existed, had their names assigned by God. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. God named Malchus. His name from eternity was my King. And if you're a believer, that's your name, my King. I hope this will bring a smile to your face. Is that not what our Lord does for every one of his people? Every one of them. Listen to this. He hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And God named this man my King. My King. Now, I want to close by saying this. I know that what I've said can be subject to argument. In fact, I can punch a few holes in it myself. But this is what I believe. Our Lord gave this man his name before the foundation of the world, before a man ever existed. And in time, he named him before the foundation of the world. But in time, he gave him a hearing ear, like he did us. And I find it very interesting in doing all the reading and studying that I've tried to do. He gave this man a hearing ear. And Revelation says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Not ears. He that hath an ear. I found very little written by others on these passages except that which expressed my own reaction of amusement and chuckle and go get him, you know. But God's not like us. I'll say that again. God's merciful and long-suffering. And you might say, Larry, you stretched this a little too far for me. My reply is this, in closing. You can't stretch God's mercy and grace of our God and Savior too far. You can't stretch it too far. He will save to the uttermost. And Christ our Lord is not like us. He's more ready to save than anyone has ever desired to be saved. There's none that seeks after him. This man wasn't, and you weren't. But then they're given ears to hear, as we were and are. Then when they're given this hearing ear, the deaf are healed. Deaf ears are opened when the crippled, the lame are healed. When they cast their crowns at his feet. When they're given life from the dead, hearing ears, that's when they will cast their crowns at his feet. In the realization that they have been named from eternity past and will spend an eternity future with the one who loved them and gave himself for them. Only Christ can give us a new ear and a name. And what a miracle that is. I hope you can see that.